Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. As always, we thank you for listening to AFR and to this program. Ed Battagliano co-hosting with me today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
A lot to talk about today. We got some guests lined up. Who are they going to be?
Yeah, well, we're going to have our own Sandy Rios on in just a little bit. We'll be talking about some of the cultural and political things that have been going on in the country. We'll have Fred Jackson on, bottom of the hour, to talk about some of the top headlines. Neil Mammen, who is author of Jesus Is Involved in Politics. He'll be with us after the, in the next hour.
Hey, we got some great news to start off the week with. Joining us to talk about it is Tim Todd, president of Revival Fires Ministry out of West Monroe, Louisiana. And you know, last week, folks, we talked a lot about the Truth for Youth Bible campaign, Bible Week here on American Family Radio. And we had challenged our listeners to help us break a record in terms of the number of Bibles we were able to get in the hands of young people who don't know the Lord. And Tim Todd's here now to report back to us. How you doing, Tim?
Doing great, Tim and Ed. Good to speak with you this morning.
Hey, Tim, most of that, the rain is south of you, right?
Yes,
flooding?
Yes, we've seen a lot of flooding in south Louisiana, but all we've had is a little bit of rain over here in Monroe, West Monroe area, and of course in South Louisiana, they need a lot of prayer.
Well, we have a lot of listeners in South Louisiana and South Mississippi, and parts of Texas got hit pretty hard.
Yeah,
by the flooding the last few days.
Well, ask the rest of our listening audience to be praying for the people in South Louisiana, and as you said, parts of Mississippi and Texas.
Yeah,
but South Louisiana really got hammered with a lot of flooding, rivers cresting, and
some of them haven't crested yet.
Yes, that's true. So just be praying, folks, for the preservation of life. And obviously the destruction is terrible when there's flooding, but pray for safety as well.
Well, the flood.
A friend of mine.
Go ahead, Tim.
A friend of mine in Benham Springs called me Saturday, Tim and Ed, and said that 20 families in his church that were not actually in flood zone. So as a result of that, they did not have flood insurance. 20 families had lost their homes, and so. And, of course, this is happening all over the South, and so certainly we definitely need to be lifting them up in prayer.
You know, the same thing happened in South Carolina last year. You remember that freak storm system that came off the coast and just sat on top of central South Carolina for like 4 days and just flooded places. Tim, what you just described, your friend, and he's a pastor?
Denham Springs.
In Denham Springs, which is down around Baton Rouge. And you're saying to me 20 families that he knew of didn't have flood insurance and their homes are destroyed. That means you're just out. You're just out, right?
Unbelievable.
That's
Unless there's some kind of government, you know, some kind of FEMA money or something. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But
no, I think you got to have flood insurance now.
Okay.
Because when you do your house planning, if you buy a house, you always check them out in flood zone,
right?
You know, and then you look at the land with your eyeballs and go, there's no way this will ever flood,
right?
And then it does, and then you're right, we need to be praying for those people and helping them however we can.
This is something that 8 days of Hope will probably be,
I'm sure they will,
they'll be helping out as soon as the weather.
Hey, Tim, on a good news front, we had Truth for Youth Bible Week here on American Family Radio last week, and just to reset this for our listeners who didn't hear it or don't know what we're talking about, for 15 years now, we've been partnering with Tim Todd and Revival Fires Ministry. Tim's on the phone with us now. And Tim travels the country as an evangelist, and everywhere he speaks, he takes an offering for this project, which we do annually, where he raises the money to get the Bibles printed, and then when we do this, to have them shipped so that If you order a Bible, it does not cost you anything. As long as you have a teenager or you know of a teenager, grandson, son, or daughter, who will give this Truth for Youth Bible. It's a Bible specifically geared toward teenagers with different issues that teenagers confront as part of a comic set of in front of the New Testament in this Bible. That's what it makes it specific to teenagers. But anyway, we've had in the past few years, we've gotten as many as 60-something thousand Bibles in 1 week. And again, this is people who are saying, hey, send me one of those free Bibles, and I'll make sure it gets in the hands of a young person who does not know Christ. So it's an evangelistic tool that, right, and a life-changing prayer that we do this project with Tim. And Tim, okay, after all was said and done for the whole week, drum roll, please. You got a drum roll over here, Brent? No drum roll? Okay, well. That sounds like a bad car. Never mind. That was terrible drum roll. Anyway.
Sounds like a bicycle riding down
there. I know. It was horrible. I admit it. But I tried. What do you got, Tim? What kind of numbers you got?
Last year, Tim and Ed, we gave away 62,800 Bibles. This year, and again, the drum roll, 63,174 Bibles.
63,000.
Yes.
That's a record.
63,174. That is a record. And this is going to make a tremendous impact on a generation coming up. And we're believing for many, many of these young people that receive this Bible to receive Christ as their Savior as well.
Let me just say this, too, about inside these Bibles, there's a card. And the card, you tear out the card, and you send the card to Tim Todd's ministry in West Monroe. And so over the last 15 years, Tim, those cards, which, I mean, that's a pretty serious step for the modern-day teenager to tear out a card and get a stamp and fill it out and stick it in the mail to say, hey, this Bible led me to new life in Christ. How many people have signed those and sent those into your ministry?
With emails and submission forms and then the form that you just described that comes out of the Bible, we've received in excess of 25,000 of those from young people that we know of for sure that have accepted Christ as their Savior.
That's over the years. It's not from last week's Bible.
25,000 that we know of. We know that the number is many more of people who would never contact you, but had their life changed by this Bible that we've been working on this project with for Tim for 15 years. And it's one of the most exciting things we do annually. And we just say, hey, Tim, why don't you pray? Now, we got guests coming up, Tim, so make it a short prayer. Okay, but why don't you pray over these Bibles that are going out
Amen. In
the next few weeks, brother?
Lord, we pray for every parent, every grandparent, every child that called in as a direct result of hearing about this project. And, Lord, we're just trusting you that every Bible that's going into the hands of these young people, that as they give the Bibles away in their school, that you will lay it on their hearts as to exactly who you want them to give it to. And I pray that those that are not saved will give their heart to you as a result of it. We thank you in advance, Lord, for doing a work in the lives of each young person that receives this Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Tim. God bless you, brother. Look forward to working with you many more years on this.
Amen.
Thank you for your partnership, Tim and Ed. We appreciate and love you guys very, very much, and God bless you.
All right, you too. Tim Todd joining us from West Monroe, Louisiana, Revival Fires Ministry. And folks, this no gimmick here. Tim raises the money through the offerings because he's a traveling evangelist. And he so that when we do this, the people who call in and order the Bibles, it doesn't cost them anything.
Right.
And so praise the Lord.
And this is, one of the things we're very excited to be able to do. You know, we have a lot of gospel preaching ministries on this network, Tim, AFA, AFR. We believe in preaching the gospel. Some people say, well, you're all about politics. No, we're not. And this is 1 week out of the year where we are very happy to have the privilege to work with such a fine ministry and to get the gospel out into the hands, especially of young people. And so praise the Lord for what he's done. And we thank our listeners who were able to give this year and give one of these Bibles away. Lord laid it upon their heart to do it. And so we're grateful for their participation in Truth for Youth.
Absolutely. Truth for Youth Bible Week, another historically successful week there for this campaign. And was the Bible says that the Word of God shall not return void.
That's right, Isaiah 55.
That says that, and by that it means the Word of God, the Bible, goes out, people read it, and lives
and God works through it, yes.
Lives are changed.
Right.
Through it. I know all the stories I've heard by the Gideons over the years.
Oh, about, my goodness.
Huh?
Just amazing.
Yeah.
The power of God's Word going out, just the written Word, of course, the Holy Spirit working with that, with the power of the Word of God, and just amazing stories of how lives saved, turned around, delivered because of the simple gift of the Scriptures.
Amen. Hey, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios is with us now. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. That's the parent ministry of AFR. And Sandy represents us there in Washington, D.C. And she also has her own program each weekday morning, 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time, here on American Family Radio Talk. Sandy joins us right now. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim and Ed. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Good. I don't know if you heard our report there. We had 60.
I did.
Isn't that great?
I'm so thrilled, honestly. It's just wonderful to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
You know, I was just thinking, reminds me, I used to travel with the Bible League a lot. I used to be their spokesperson for their fundraisers for Bibles to China. And I was in China several times with them. And one of the times I met a Bible smuggler who was a real rough-looking guy from the Philippines, but he was smuggling Bibles into China. And he had been saved because he'd been doing some sort of, I forgot what, it was a robbery of some sort, and he ended up with somebody's Bible and tore out like a page of it by accident and ended up reading that page, and that's how he came to Christ. One page.
Wow. and he was robbing.
He was robbing somebody. He was doing some drug deal, and now he's in China on the front lines, you know, part of this smuggling network. It was amazing. It was amazing.
That'd make a great movie.
Yes, it would.
But it'd make a great movie.
And your tendency, if you're a Christian, you say, "We've been robbed." Oh, what? What that? I can't wait to get my hands on that guy. And here it is, God's using that. You know, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. One page of the Bible.
Amen.
Exactly. And who knows? All those stories. I mean, it really is thrilling. It's
I'm
great
guessing
to be.
I'm guessing it wasn't something out of Numbers or Leviticus, the Begats. I'm guessing that probably wasn't the Begats. Maybe it was out of the one of the Gospels or something.
Mm.
Whatever it was, it was powerful.
So. Yeah, it worked. Whatever it was, it worked. It was the power of God.
Hey, Sandy, some of the items we want to talk to you about in the news. First of all, heard you talking this morning about what happened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I don't know why you have to say Wisconsin. Anybody know another Milwaukee? Raise your hand.
Native Indians listening.
I don't think
American Indians. My,
yeah, I don't Milwaukee. Think there's a Milwaukee, Texas. That I really don't. But anyway, Milwaukee, they had the same story, same song, different verse. Police officer shoots a young black male, and people protest, riot, and burn things down. Doesn't matter the circumstances, doesn't matter the, take a little while for the facts to come out. Nope, it's just,
burn it down.
Burn it down. And so what did happen? I didn't even learn about this till last night about 10 o'clock. I clicked on the internet on a news site. What happened there over the weekend?
Well, two Milwaukee police officers stopped two black young men at they said traffic stop. But the two young black men got out of the car and fled.
They ran from the cops?
They ran. Now, we know that they both have very long rap sheets, a criminal activity of various sorts. We know that now. The one of them ran away, turned around, and had a gun. Now, whether he was pointing or shooting at the officer, I don't know, but he had a gun.
So it's the officer's chasing him on foot as he flees.
That's right. So the officer, who's young himself, he's like 24, shoots the one with the gun, and he shoots him twice, and he dies. So and remind me to come back to that, because I have an important point to make about that. So now all in social media, there are these calls to come out and kill, get vengeance on whites, come, burn, loot, tear down white businesses. And so within not that very long, you have groups of, of course, young black people, I think it's young for the most part, descending on the city. They burned down a BP gas station owned by an Indian man. He'd been there for 36 years. And the fire people could not stop the fire because of the gunshots. There was all this gunfire. And so they couldn't even stop the destruction of the gas station. They also burned, they did not, I don't know how much the destruction was, but it was some sort of an auto parts store, O'Reilly Auto Parts, and another store like that. And, I mean, it's just amazing. It was, you can see their Twitter accounts about, you know, getting white people. They were stopping white people in cars and pulling them out of their cars. They were damaging their cars. And the new Black Panther leader in Milwaukee declared that this is war. And so it went on all night long. And so Sheriff David Clark came out yesterday and gave a long statement. And part of it was in the true Sheriff David Clark form. He's the Black Milwaukee County Sheriff who wears the, you know, cowboy hat, who's just a, I don't know, he's, I don't know how to describe him. He's just a man's man. He's a straight shooter. He doesn't see things in terms of race. And he talked about the problems in the Black community in Milwaukee and what's causing this. Talking about bad parenting and talking about poverty, bad schools, and all of it. So then they went into their second night last night, and they had a lot of the same. One person was shot. I don't think any businesses were burned, but it's you know that the left and the insidious parts of this movement are going to descend on Milwaukee. This is not going to be over quickly. They called in the National Guard last night for the first time. And a couple of points. And before I take a breath here, because there's a lot more to say about it, turns out that the policeman that shot the young Black man is Black himself. But, of course, that doesn't matter. Still racism. And the second thing, the second point I want to make, you were talking about Louisiana. And in the Fox article describing the disaster there, the governor, Edwards, said that President Obama called him and said that the people of South Louisiana are in his thoughts and prayers, and the federal government will be a solid partner. But I have to tell you that the reports in from Wisconsin are from the president crickets. He said nothing. Rather than ask people to be calm, stop attacking people of another race, to wait until we have the evidence, wait until the detail, maybe even say himself it was a Black officer. You know, this is not what you think. Nothing. He's out on the golf course in Martha's Vineyard, and the press catches him, and he's laughing, and he's joking, and they said he was fully briefed on the shooting, fully briefed on what was happening in Milwaukee, on the riots, but he has said nothing, offered nothing to the governor of Wisconsin, at least he hadn't as of this morning.
And we should make clear that the footage from the incident, this is from Mayor Tom Barrett of Milwaukee, said the footage clearly showed a gun in 23-year-old Silvel K. Smith's hand as he fled a traffic stop on Saturday. So that's the young man who was killed. Clearly showed a gun. The officer was Black. As you mentioned, these two young men had long rap sheets. So they had a reason apparently to flee the police. But none of that matters. And this is increasingly a racial divide that, at least for some people, there's just a refusal to try to see our way through this.
Wait a minute now. Hold on just a minute.
This is a reason to burn down your community.
Hold on just a minute. Sandy and Ed, let me get this right. So this 23-year-old man and his buddy are in the car. They get pulled over by the police.
Traffic stop.
And the cop gets out, Black cop, 24 years old.
Right.
And these guys run, right?
Right.
So they're running from the police, right, Sandy?
Yes, I don't know the timeline there or what happened
in between.
No, but
that's what happened.
That is what happened. Yeah,
because they're running from police.
Well, the news reports are saying that from the officer's body camera footage, so thank goodness for that, the mayor, Flynn, said the entire episode took about 25 seconds from the start of the traffic stop until shots were fired. So that's, and this is from Fox News. So 25 seconds, they pull him over, okay, they get out, they run. One of them's got a gun in his hand, and I've not seen the footage. Obviously, this probably not been released yet.
At night?
This was...
I think it's early evening. So I don't know if it's dark yet.
Saturday.
Yeah, okay. Saturday.
Well, the sometime. Point is, okay, so
after 11 p.m. was the confrontation.
Why are you running from the cops?
Well, because they both, well, we know now they both have long rap sheets.
And one of them had a gun?
One was on probation. Yeah, they have some really, they've got a bad rap sheet. That's what David Clark, the sheriff, kind of read their rap sheets a little, just to give people an idea. And he said, he actually said, you know, he basically said, I fault the judicial system here for not, these sentences are too light for the things that they have done. And he said, and this is human behavior. They get away with it, and then they go out and they do it again. That's basically what he said. I thought that was really interesting coming from him. And the other thing I want you to tell, there's a couple of other things I want to mention to you guys. Star Parker, who's, of course, our friend to all of us, was writing this morning. You guys may or may not know that George Soros, of course, is the billionaire Hungarian hater of this country. He's an American citizen, but he spends his billions on anything possible to undermine, destroy, and cause chaos, not the least of which is Black Lives Matter. He's the one funding that. And so Star just reported yesterday, I know this from other sources, that George Soros' foundation has been hacked, his email, which is pretty astounding because nobody knows really the inner workings. As much as we know about him, that we don't know that much more. So his foundation has been hacked. And it revealed that millions of dollars in ties to faith-based groups in poor minority communities. Page after page reveals how effective his money is, Soros money, is used in forging partnerships with media and clergy, as well as partnerships with local elected officials. So here's the point. He's there to stir up trouble, to make sure that this is presented as a racial issue, to stoke the flames, to get them to burn, to get them to cause trouble as much as possible. That's what Soros is all about, and that's what Star is reporting, and she's right about that. So,
why do you? I have some of these questions I'm asking rhetorically. Why do these people go out and loot, riot, burn down, beat up random white people? Because some thug ran away from the cops with a gun and got shot and killed.
Because, Tim, it's kind of like...
By thug, I mean, evidently, this guy had a long rap sheet.
Career criminal.
Career yeah. criminal, runs from the cops, has a gun.
An illegal gun.
Gets shot, and he's their martyr?
Well, Tim, the thing of it is, I guess to get a better understanding of it, it's human nature that if you have been hurt, let's say you had a business partner that cheated you and yeah. caused you, you know, nearly destroyed your business, maybe destroyed your business. And you go in business again and you have another partner and he starts acting a little strange and you leap to the conclusion that it's because he's stealing from you and doing the same thing the last guy and you lose control and you get all upset and then you find out it has nothing to do with that. He's completely innocent. It's kind of they are hardwired because of the history. And so they leap to conclusions that they shouldn't be leaping to. That's the problem.
Also, I saw a comment. I was looking for it. I saw a comment. I'll save this for after the break. Sandy, do you have to leave or can you stay?
No, I'll stay
okay.
with you.
Fred Jackson is going to join us too, news director for American Family News and One News Now. We're going to talk about this a couple more minutes. Then we got some other items that we want to get to. You're listening to American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the program. We'll be back momentarily.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. R.R. Reno, author of Resurrecting the Idea of a Christian Society.
The biggest change that we see in our culture is not a decline in the number of people who are religious, but instead a rise in the number of people who are irreligious.
We'll also talk with James McCafferty, author of The Bear Hunter, and Jim Garlow, senior pastor of Skyline Church in San Diego, California. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. It was a weekend of violent unrest in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A rampaging mob burned businesses and battled with police. The rioting started after a black police officer shot and killed a black suspect. The suspect had a gun, and when he refused to drop his weapon, the officer opened fire. In the aftermath, a number of buildings were set ablaze, including a gas station. Five police officers were hurt, one hit by a brick. Reporters were also targeted, one thrown to the ground and punched. I'm not a community organizer, but how does burning down a neighborhood advance your cause? How does throwing bricks at police officers make you safer? There are real problems facing urban America, but they cannot be resolved through violence. One of the protesters said they want economic opportunities. Well, they can start by not burning down the economic opportunities they already have. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano, and Sandy Rios is with us. She's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio Talk each weekday morning. And Fred Jackson, News Director for AFR and for One News Now, is in with us.
Morning, guys. Good morning, Sandy.
Fred, do you know anything more than what Sandy was talking about a while ago as far as the facts of the case in Milwaukee here?
No, but I've been listening to your conversation, and I heard the interview just a few moments ago with Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. You guys were talking about that. And, I mean, he knows the city of Milwaukee, obviously. Right. 70% of the young black men in that city grew up in homes without fathers. He says that's part of the problem. This is a city that's been controlled by the Democrats, according to Sheriff Clark, for decades now. And because of these fatherless homes, you have generation after generation after generation that has grown dependent upon the government to exist. And his point this morning was very interesting. He said the Democrats want it that way. Dependence on the government yields votes for Democratic candidates.
Right.
Now, this is Sheriff Clark talking here. He's very conservative, but he deals with these issues all the time. He's on as an expert on Fox on whether it's what's happening in Chicago, what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, what's happening in Baltimore. And it all goes back, he says, to a government that seeks to keep people dependent upon the government in order to get their votes. Now, that is a condemnation of our politicians. They're not interested. What he is saying, what David Clark is saying, Sheriff David Clark is saying, is the Democrats believe it is to their benefit to keep these people dependent, keep them angry, keep blaming people. It's absolutely amazing to me, gentlemen, and Sandy, that in the midst of what's going on in Milwaukee, there was a white police officer killed in southern Georgia in the last 48 hours. They just arrested the young black man. He was in the trunk of his sister's car. She was fleeing, apparently taking him down into Florida somewhere. But that story is hardly on the radar, I wrote there, because it doesn't fit the narrative that the mainstream media and that our politicians want. Milwaukee does, and they're trying to stoke this. And Sandy just made this point. Todd Starnes, we were listening to also. The businesses that are being destroyed by these people are in the black area of Milwaukee. They're putting people, black people, out of work by doing this.
And a lot of those businesses are not going to be rebuilt.
No, so you're, just like Ferguson.
That's right. So you already have an economically deprived area that needs business, that needs stores, just to supply the everyday needs for the people, and they burn them down and they're not going to be rebuilt.
Okay.
I mean, I'm guessing.
It's time for elephant in the room talk. You ready?
Okay.
Till the black community reinstitutes a respect for marriage and family, they're going to continue to experience a lot of poverty and a lot of their young men joining gangs, getting involved in bad behavior. You can have a wonderful child raised as a single parent. There are examples of that all over the place. There's no question about that. But we also know that broadly and generally speaking, there's a biblical principle involved here. Marriage, then you have children, and you raise them with a mom and a dad. That gives you the best chance,
right,
for opportunity, for hope, for support, for advancement in a career. We all know that. What happens in the black community, which would happen in any community if the same circumstances were in existence, because this is not skin color, this is
human nature
and environmental. You get 73% of your children born without a dad. Number one, those young ladies, a lot of them drop out of school, okay? Or they maybe barely make it through high school because they got a child.
Right.
Or two.
Right.
Okay. So what kind of job opportunities are there for that young lady if she's not going to get an education? You see where I'm going with it?
Right.
And you've got two children. Who's taking care of them? Grandma. Okay. So you're stunted already if you're going to have a lack of opportunity in education because you've got two children when you're 16 years old. All right. So that, whose fault is that? Is that the white man's fault? Is that the police's fault? Or is that a lack of respect for marriage and family within the black community that they need to address? So until that changes, these young black males involved in bad behavior and gang activity and getting in confrontation with the cops is not going to stop. It's only going to get worse, probably, until the black community itself, as I say, reinstitutes a respect for marriage and family. Now, a lot of people say this was planned back in the 60s. To have welfare programs that get African American people addicted to checks when they have babies out of wedlock, which is an incentive. Am I right?
Well, I don't know if that was planned. I tell you, and then we want to get Sandy involved in this. My personal opinion is because the left has divorced itself from God and from godly principles, they do not understand human nature. Now, some on the left, even Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who is long been dead, he's a Democrat. He warned that what the welfare system was going to do would be destroy the black family. That was in 1965.
And it did.
And it did. And it's because he recognized, he was old school, he recognized human nature is this way. If you make it dependent, nothing but bad things
will
happen.
Well, you incentivize bad behavior. Right. Or irresponsible behavior.
Irresponsible.
Yeah. Irresponsible behavior. There's nothing bad about having babies or children. God loves life.
Right.
But there's a plan. You get married, then you have children. Go ahead.
The interview, Fred. I heard with Sheriff David Clark this morning, and in case folks are not familiar with him, he is African American.
Right.
He nailed exactly what you were saying, Tim. how are you going to correct these problems? Are you going to correct them by the Justice Department coming in and doing an investigation and penalizing the community and saying you need more, you know, community policing? He says, no, the solution is going to start in the hearts of the people in the black community. That's where it has. They have to come to the realization that the train that we are on, what you've been describing
right.
since 1960, is not working. We have got to change our hearts. And where does that come from? That's going to come from black preachers, black pastors, black churches. That's where it has. This is a spiritual problem.
Right.
And, well, and the black family, Sandy, I'd like to get you comment on this, but the black family was together during the times when black Americans were really discriminated against.
I'm talking about Jim Crow through the South, and yeah.
You talk about real discrimination, that was it, and yet the African-American family was intact. And
a lot of black businesses prospered during that time. There was black...
Despite
the black community,
despite the Jim Crow and all those things,
the black community was patronizing those black businesses. But there was,
talking about the family unit was together. You did not have this out of control crime among young black males back in the 50s, 60s,
right.
Back in the time, even though they were experiencing real persecution and discrimination. Yeah. So anyway, Sandy, go ahead. You've been sitting there quietly.
Well, so much to say. One of my favorite books about what you're talking about is a book called When We Were Colored. It's written by a black researcher. I remember talking to him when I was on radio in Chicago. He really documents life in the black community in the 50s, and it's a really fabulous book. Talks about the very thing you're talking
What's
about.
What's the name of it?
When We Were Colored.
Okay.
And you know what the points you're making are absolutely true, but I would point out and what you already know, we all know, the same confusion and sin that has destroyed the black family is destroying the white family. Maybe the details are different, but it is rebellion against God. It is a rebellion against God's design. It affects all of us. I would point to just the particular problems in the black community as being similar to what happened in post-Soviet Russia, because people got used to being, they all made the same money no matter what they did, no incentive. They lived in like inner city housing, like if you've ever seen big city, low-income housing, that's how everybody in Russia lives. And the alcoholism rate, the productivity rate, it was absolute despair. I was there for 3 weeks after, right before the Soviet Union broke up, and they destroyed the Russian family, they destroyed the work ethic. It happens to all races. And I also like to say that we have another dynamic going on here, and that is that we have people who know exactly what they're doing on the left, using the lack of understanding of many of just plain folk in the black community who... It's in their DNA. Some of it's, most of it, much of it is reality, their experience in white America, but some of it isn't. And some of it's been exaggerated. And there are myths and all kinds of things that are spread at kids in school. And even in Chicago, in the inner city schools, are taught that there's a different history and that the facts are not the facts. So they're raised in kind of a counterculture that is the white versus black, not American. So they are the product of this, and then
But then you do have a lot of the rap music is very gangster oriented.
Oh yes,
and very disrespectful of women and young. It's just the whole culture there of gangster things that are celebrated.
But Tim, Look, I'm just trying to say that sin is sin. This happens to be the plight of the black community is horrendous, but the white community has its plights too. We have Lady Gaga and Madonna all the filth that's destroying us too.
You know,
and I
understand.
Just want to make that point for black listeners that I don't, it's...
No, I'm not blaming it all on the rap, the gangster rap and all that stuff. What I'm saying is, basically what we're saying is God's design for marriage and family, when you throw that away, you suffer the consequences.
Absolutely. And his principles.
and his principles,
his
and
boundaries, his moral law, his an admonition that we should respect authority.
Right, and yeah. So when you have unless you get a return a respect for marriage and family, and fathers taking responsibility for the children that they, you know, then nothing's going to change. Here, it's only going to get worse. You're going to see more confrontation between young black males and the police. In Milwaukee, in the case here, you have a 24-year-old black police officer who was involved. And let's talk about...
By the way, let me just give the name of the book that I'm thinking, Sandy. I typed in and Googled what you were talking about. Clifton Taubert. T-A-U-L-B-E-R-T. T-A-U-L-B-E-R-T. Clifton Taubert. Critically acclaimed book, Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored. It is a memoir of him growing up in Glen Allen, Mississippi. This is a Variety review, says, presents a warm tribute to the black heritage that prevailed in the Deep South of the post-war years. So, anyway, I've never heard of the book, Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored. That's the book to which you were referencing, that you were referring, and... I don't know if that's still available. I may look that up.
Hey, Tim, can I add just a couple sure. of points? I just want to drive this back. I want to go back because I mentioned first that there's a segment that is, this is intentional. It's evil. It's wicked.
What's intentional?
The stoking of the flames of racism. The problems in Milwaukee, let me just say right now, we know that the Justice Department under President Obama is undergoing an effort city by city to federalize the police. To take advantage of these problems, to come in then. Now the Justice Department, I guarantee you, will come in and investigate, quote-unquote, the Milwaukee Police Department, and then they will federalize. They will place all of these onerous restrictions. They will bring lawsuits, and they are federalizing the police in major cities all over the country. It's already happened in 3 or 4 different cities, and it's happening all over the country. The second thing is the President of the United States is affiliated with the Black Lives Matter movement. He praises their leadership. He's done events with them. And he is very close to George Soros, who is funding them. This is an insidious problem. And we talk about our friends, our black friends in the community. That's one issue. But the people that are stoking this and turning the screws and making it worse are coming right from the top.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Fred Jackson, and Sandy Rios. Hey, Fred, who's going to be president in January? Go ahead, Fred.
Well, there's a 50% chance that it could be Donald Trump.
You think it's that high?
And a 50% chance it could be Hillary Clinton. Hey, listen, we're still, 2.5 months out, maybe? To that, and you don't know what's going to happen. I don't think
there's any more that can happen to Hillary Clinton that put her in any more of a negative light. I think she's she's peaked.
She's or bottomed out.
I don't. You can do your Clinton Foundation connection to the Secretary of State's office all day long. To those who are going to vote for her already right now, it ain't going to make any difference at all.
So no, I think the focus right now is, and if you listen to all the analysis out there, is that Donald Trump does have to modify the way he describes things.
Excuse me while I laugh my head off. Go ahead.
If he can do that, he has another big speech today. He's got a foreign policy speech in Ohio. And he's going to talk about the focus has to be, we have to work with anybody who wants to get rid of ISIS. So that's pretty safe ground there, I think, depending if he sticks with the script.
Talking about Donald Trump here now.
Talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing he's going to talk about today as far as his foreign policy is that he wants an ideological screening for people coming into this country. In other words, you have to believe, if you want to come into this country and live, you want to become American, you have to believe in religious freedom, you have to be okay with homosexual marriage, et cetera, et cetera. This, according to the reports this morning, is some of the thrust of what he's going to have to say today.
Well, hold on just a minute. What does homosexual marriage have to do with anything? What are you talking about?
You have to allow, be tolerant for things such as homosexual marriage. You have to have a belief in religious freedom. In other words, and I think, I can't read Donald Trump's mind, but I think when it, with regards to religious freedom, he is going to, what he's saying is that you can't come into this country and believe in Sharia law.
What if you lie? How do you check, how do you do that? What are you going to take, you got to give them a piece of paper and they check off things and... This, if they want to get into the country, they just say, they just lie about it.
Well, I think what he's trying to do is somewhat dampen the criticism that he has faced in the media and from the Democrats about, I'm not going to allow anybody coming in from an Islamic country, Syria or something of that nature. So he continues to try to modify some of his earlier statements that blew up into huge headlines. I think that's what he's trying to do. So to go back to your original question, I think he has a lot of people around him right now, you know, Huckabee, Governor Huckabee and others like that, who are trying to on a regular basis, Newt Gingrich, trying to on a regular basis saying, you can say what's on your heart, Mr. Trump, but you got to modify the words a bit so that they don't come out, so that people don't make big headlines out of something that you said right off the top of your head.
Right.
That's what he's trying to do.
What about that, Sandy?
Well, I think, I mean, she sighs. Oh, I read it on the card, sigh. Anyway.
You know what? He said you know, the man's 70 years, the man is 70 years old. He is what he is. He's not going to be able to control himself on his persona, on his...
off-the-cuff remarks, you mean?
Braggadocious, yeah. Off-the-cuff, say whatever is on his mind now, no filter. I mean, a lot of people love that. They love that about him, and other people cringe when he says stuff, you know, right out off the top of his head, because you just go, man, shouldn't you put some thought into something before you say it like that? Because the world's watching.
And, but, Tim, the thing of it is, this also has to be pointed out. It wouldn't matter who our candidate, meaning conservatives, who a conservative candidate were right now, if you consider him in the broad spectrum of conservatism, compared to Hillary, he is, they would be destroyed. If it were Ted Cruz.
You mean by the media?
They would be picking up every word he said.
Yeah, and, but you don't have to help them.
No, I know, but I just think people, to get perspective.
Well, I know.
Yeah, because you know you're those right. of us that are on the air, we get monitored all the time. They take things out of context. They twist one phrase.
They're doing that to Trump?
I do. I think a lot of it, certainly he's everything you said, but I do, absolutely. They're twisting a lot of the things that he said. Like
He said the other day, he said, and I'm not here to pile on Donald Trump, my word. I'm just trying to be objective about this thing. The other day, he said that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were the founders of ISIS. Okay. Now, when Hugh Hewitt, I heard this interview. Hugh Hewitt's a colleague of ours in the Christian talk radio business. Asked him, he said, you mean that their policies led to the founding of ISIS in Iraq and Syria? No, I mean literally. This is Trump talking. Founders of ISIS. All right, then he comes back 3 days later, Trump does, and says, no, I was being sarcastic. No, you weren't. You were not being sarcastic, and if you were being sarcastic, that's not something you'd be sarcastic about, Mr. Trump. So that's a case right there, Sandy, when I say that was a story, and you might say, well, that's the media piling on Trump. And I agree with you. They hate Trump because they hate anything conservative, and Trump is in some ways conservative. But right there, you go, I'm going to myself, why do you do these things? Because life is hard enough as a Republican presidential candidate without you saying, no, I mean literally, Obama and Hillary are the founders of ISIS. He said it in a way that, to me, was kind of flippant. Anyway, go ahead, Sandy.
There's no question that he is a completely inarticulate. He's unclear. He's a lot of different things. And on that regard, you know, I asked Michael Ledeen, who's a, I just interviewed, did a pre-tape with Michael Ledeen this morning, who's an Iranian Middle East expert.
Yeah.
I ask him about this, and of course, it is true that the policies of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton did cause the start of ISIS in Iraq.
Yes, because President Obama pulled all our troops out
of
Iraq against all his generals, telling him, don't do this. They said, do not do this. You're going to leave a huge vacuum. It's going to be terrible. We can't just yank all our troops out. Now, you can reduce the number, but we got to have a stabilizing force. We've gone to all this blood, sweat, and tears to bring change to Iraq. We got to stay the course. We did it in Germany. We did it in Japan. We've done it in other parts of the world. Nobody likes leaving our troops somewhere for a long period of time. But if it means preventing something like ISIS from coming into existence, it's certainly well worth it now, looking in hindsight. But President Obama said, no, I'm yanking them all out because I said I was going to during the campaign, and so I don't care what the consequences are.
So I think it's likely that's what Donald Trump meant. But you know what? The thing of it is, Tim, we are in a very tough spot. I don't need to tell you that many articles and opinion pieces, and there's a lot of arguments between family and friends over this particular election, because how do Christians view this? You have a candidate who is, you know, not exactly a Sunday school teacher, who has lied, who's disparaged someone who really is a great guy of character, Ted Cruz. And then you've got someone who's actually done some very terrible things, whose policies will, in fact, destroy this country. I would have to say that if Mrs. Clinton is elected, I would guess it'll be mere months before organizations like AFA, individuals like us, churches will be the object of ire in a way we can't even imagine. Remember that Hillary Clinton said just recently that we would have, in regard to abortion, deeply held religious beliefs will have to be altered because abortion just is must be embraced. Now, what does that mean in public policy? What do you suppose that means? And when it comes to Islam, the ability to speak honestly about the doctrines of Islam, it will not be allowed. I can tell you right now, Hillary has signed on to the Organization of Islamic State. She is the herald bearer for them, the banner bearer in the United States. She said, if we can't stop people from criticizing Islam in the United States, we'll use the old-fashioned methods of peer pressure and shaming. Well, what's that going to look like in churches for pastors? For Christians.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, and now you're just getting me started. So those are the realities of our choices.
No, I fully understand that. I give Donald Trump two big thumbs up. His release of the judges he would select to be on the Supreme Court, that was huge for people who are conservative, because if Hillary Clinton is elected, the Supreme Court will be lost for a generation to the secular liberal humanist. It's just no question about that. Not to mention the federal judges all across the land. And you give Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton 12 years of Harvard law professor judges. Oh my word! I mean, so the Supreme Court hangs in the balance, and also selecting Governor Pence of Indiana, by all accounts, a fine Christian, conservative man of character. By doing that, Donald Trump said, I want this guy by my side. And I thought that was a good judgment call on the part of it. It's just, you know how it is. We just, with Donald Trump, you just hope that somebody takes the cell phone away from him or at 9 o'clock, says, go to bed, Dad. Or something.
No tweeting. No tweeting.
No tweeting. Go to bed. You need your rest. All right. Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, Fred.
Take care.
Thank you, Fred, for being on with us. OneNewsNow.com.
OneNewsNow.com.
Check it out, OneNewsNow.com. Ed and I shall return. I'm going to let Ed talk this next half
Man,
hour.
Man, no, I'm just listening. I'm on cruise control.
Neil Mammon will be with us momentarily. Jesus is involved in politics. That's a provocative title for a book. That's what he wrote. We'll be back with more of today's issues momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.